Well, Pastor Nigel is still away on leave, and he'll be back next week. And Pastor Emma has been doing an amazing job. She does an amazing job when he's here, and she does an amazing job when he's not here. And so I'd like to welcome Emma. Come on up, Emma. Let's give her a big hand, please. Let's welcome her. That's love on her. She loves the house of God. She loves you people. She believes in you people. And she loves her husband. Thank you.
I do love my husband. Isn't it good to be in church? Yeah. So I just want to really thank all the people who volunteer and serve on our teams. If you aren't part of a team yet, I'd really encourage you to join a team because you have such a great time serving in areas that you enjoy and that you're fit, and we disciple you. And I also love that our culture is about having fun. So we are having team parties from November onwards. So Jane's having a pool party, I'm having a pool party. We love to have fun and get together and do life together, relationships together. So I'm talking this morning about praise. What is praise? Praise. We've just been praising God, we've just been worshiping God, and wow. You know, praise is our humble adoration of our incredible God. When we praise, we acknowledge who God is. Praise is an expression to God with a grateful and sincere heart for who He is, what He has done, and what He is going to do. And so this morning I want to take you through what praise is, why we praise, how we praise, and just the power that is in praise. I want you to have a revelation of the power that is in praise. So church, let's pray before we get into the word this morning. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that when we hear your word, it gives faith, it gives life, it gives hope. I thank you that your word is love. And I thank you for the power of praise and worship. Oh God, I pray that as we hear your word this morning, that we would grab hold of it, we would hold on to it tight and let it marinate and penetrate our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So why do we praise God? We can praise lots of different things. We can praise football teams. We can praise our children. But why do we praise God? Well, in Deuteronomy 10:21, the word says, "He alone is your God, the only one who is worthy of your praise, the one who has done these mighty miracles that you have seen with your own eyes." You see, we are to praise God only, nobody else. There is no one like our God. Our God created the universe. He spoke the universe into existence. And so we are designed to praise and worship God. We're made to worship God. Our whole body and being is designed to worship and praise God. I love how, you know, our whole bodies are a percussion instrument. We can make noise with our bodies. Our vocal cords are strings. We have breath, that is wind. Our bodies are instruments to worship and praise God. That's how we have been designed. And so in Psalm 117, verses 1 to 2, the word says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people of the earth, for his unfailing love for us is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord." God's unfailing love is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. There's two key things in why we are to praise our God: his unfailing love, his faithfulness that endures forever. We've got to praise him. We've got to praise him. Praise pleases God. Praising God is good for us. And I'll share a little bit later on how that actually works, how it is good for us to praise him. Psalm 100, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever and his faithfulness continues to each generation. So we are called to praise God. We don't just sing songs in church for the, you know, just for no reason. We're called to praise God. We're called to praise and worship him. And to come into his house with thanksgiving and praise on our lips. We have been created to praise him. Our eternal purpose is to worship and praise God in relationship with him. So we are hardwired to praise God. The Bible speaks a lot about corporate praise, about coming together corporately and the power that is in that when we praise together. We're to praise individually, but the power when we come together and praise corporately, it's just incredible. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't particularly feel like praising God. Sometimes I may, you know, I've just had a really difficult week and I don't actually want to come into his house and praise God. But do you know what? Over time, as I have matured and I've understood the meaning of praise and the power of praise, that even in those moments where it's difficult and I don't want to, that I'm actually bringing a sacrifice of praise to him by coming anyway. Can I encourage you, church? It doesn't matter what has happened in your week. It doesn't matter what has happened. You come on a Sunday and you praise your God because he will lift you up. You will be encouraged. There will be things that will be broken off you when you come into his house. Your faith will be lifted. We come into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. So I love neuroscience. I love learning about neurobiology and just understanding God in that way and how he reveals more of his creation in science. And so I read an article by Dr. Caroline Leaf. Now, some of you probably know of her. She studies quantum physics. Thank you, Charlie. And so she says, corporate worship has been shown to have several health benefits. Listen to this. Regular church attendance is associated with a 30 to 35% reduction in the likelihood of death and a reduction in the probability of a stroke. In a major longitudinal study, so that's a very long research study over many, many years, those who don't attend church regularly have higher rates of death from circulatory, digestive, and respiratory disorders. It's good to be worshipping and praising God in the house. Amazingly, it has also been found out that as people praise and worship God together, our heartbeats actually synchronize as one. So there's unity when we worship and praise together. Isn't God incredible how he designed us? Amazing. When we're thanking God, praising God, he listens. And there's an increase in our neurotransmitters in our brain, and our brains get prepared for change, new thinking and healing. So when we praise God, new brain cells literally grow. You've just been praising God this morning. You've grown new brain cells. Our entire brain fires up when we praise and worship God. Our whole brain is activated when we praise and worship God. And what's really interesting is that when we praise God, the neurotransmitters are getting ready, right? They're growing new cells so that when we go into worship, that's when God brings transformation. And he brings change in your brain. He brings healing. He brings transformation of your heart and mind. power in praise and worship. We're not here to fix you. We're here to lead you into praise and worship so that God does the healing, God does the transformation. And we see that in the science. Do you know it takes 30 seconds, half a minute, for our whole brain to be active when we're praising God? Half a minute. In other religions or other ways of meditating on objects or different things, it takes 30 years to get to that point. For us, 30 seconds. So praising God prepares your brain for change and for God to transform your mind, your heart, everything. So what happens, what else happens when we praise God? Well, it gets our focus off ourselves and onto Him. We align with Him and His purposes. Praise declares Jesus as Lord, His sovereignty and His reign. It causes us to be humble and to know that Jesus is our Lord God. Praise also voices our dependence on Him, our need for Him. And it squishes complaining and negativity and worry and fear. Praise makes room for God's blessings. Praise invites His presence. Praise reminds us of who God is, what He has done, and gives us hope for our future. Praise brings deliverance. Praise invokes God's peace. You see, praise causes us to grow in our eternal God understanding and to experience His peace. Our spirits are renewed and refreshed in His presence. Joy is accentuated. Praise draws you near to God and allows you to grow in intimacy with Him. When we pray in tongues, when we praise God in the spiritual language, when we're praising Him in that way, we actually get more wisdom, we get more discernment. At the end of the service, as I was praying and preparing for today, I really felt that there were people here that need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you naturally start speaking in this heavenly language, in tongues. And again, the science says that when we're praising God in that way, that it bypasses our logical way of thinking. That part of our brain closes down and we're communicating with God spirit to spirit. And they have discovered that our wisdom increases, our discernment increases as we're praying in the spirit, as we're praying in tongues, as we're praying in the spiritual language. It also brings more peace. And our emotional stability increases by 86%. That is astounding. When you're praying in the Spirit and you're praying in tongues and praying in this heavenly language, wow, wisdom, discernment, peace, stability. I don't know about you, but I need all of those things. I'm sure Richie can attest to that as well. Praising God brings His power and His miraculous. Can you understand, are you grasping how powerful praise is, but also how beneficial it is to you? God knows that it's good for us and it pleases Him. We live longer and we look younger. So praise God, be in church, praise together. This is all about corporate praise. I just want to bring another scientific study to you. So this is a research paper done last year in the Journal of Biblical Foundations of Faith and Learning. and I can't pronounce his name, Michael Lideke or something. He writes about the scientific findings of the neurophysiological benefits of worship. So he uses Job as the biblical basis for the benefits of praise and worship. Now, Job suffered tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, and yet he remained faithful to God, and he still praised and worshipped God. And so the effects of doing this, the effects that Job naturally did, because that was his custom, that was his habit of praising and worshipping God through all circumstances, all situations. I mean, this guy, he had everything. He was very, very wealthy. He had everything. And then he lost everything. He lost his wife. He lost his children. He lost all his livestock. He lost everything because God allowed the devil to see if he would remain faithful, and he did. And we know that the story ends with Job being blessed more than he was when he started. Everything is restored way more than what he started with. So the effects that praise and worship have on the brain from this study, it increases our capability and implementation of empathetic thinking and feeling. So we're more nice to each other. We're more forgiving of one another. We're transformed through praise and worship to be like that, to be more trustful. It decreases the chronic fight or flight responses. It decreases our heart rate, our blood pressure, our blood glucose levels, and inflammation. Can you see all the physical benefits that praise does? Decreases depression, anxiety, chronic pain, and post-traumatic stress. And it increases self-control, discipline, and healthy responses to one another. Now, I personally can attest to this. I know Helen said to me many years ago, Emma, you always look like you're in fear. You always look like you're so scared. And over the years, as I have praised God, as I have really, you know, declared those words, that fear doesn't stand any chance because perfect love casts out fear. You know, I've really, really spent time praising and worshipping and declaring his goodness and soaking in his spirit, that the fear has decreased. It's just about gone in many, many ways. It's lowered all the, you know, the central nervous system. Everything is just calmed right down. That's the effect of praise. Just incredible. You know, this scientific research is so strong and so robust that the medical professions actually prescribe incorporating daily prayer and praise as a part of a treatment plan for things like anxiety, depression, hypertension, chronic inflammation. So good to praise God. So how do we praise God? Well, in Hebrews 13:15, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Before Jesus, animal sacrifices were required to atone for people's sin. But because we live on the other side of Christ, we live on the side where Jesus has died for our sins once and for all and risen again, that he says to offer a sacrifice of praise. And what that means is when you don't feel like praising God, you praise him anyway. And that's where the sacrifice comes in. When I was at conference early September, God always does a work when I go over there in my own heart. And the first day that I was there, I was really struggling with feeling very dejected, very rejected. And so I went for a very long walk. If you want to process things, do something that has a crossover of your right and left body, okay? And so walking helps process and work things out. And as I was walking, I think I walked 20 kilometres that day, and I was distressed and I was upset, but I started praising God. I started praising God. In the tears, I just praised him. Now, it wasn't a joyful praise that I've done this morning. It was just a, God, I praise you. I thank you. I thank you for this. I thank you that whatever is going on right now, that you know the answer. God, I invite you into this situation. God, I praise you that you will show me what this is and you will get to the bottom of it, Lord, because you are my God and you know the truth and you know my heart and you are a good God. And as I did this, as I praised him this way, as I offered a sacrifice of praise in a time of distress, that God spoke to me about exactly what it was, exactly what it was. And then I could work through that. And the very next day, guess what one of the messages was on? Overcoming rejection. And then the healing happened. I got completely set free. God works in miraculous ways, in marvelous ways. And we're to praise him in all circumstances and situations. He will bring good to you. He will bring his truth to you. He will bring freedom and life and healing in Jesus' name. Psalm 98 says, "Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power. The Lord has announced his victory and has revealed his righteousness to every nation. He has remembered his promise to love and be faithful to Israel. The ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praise to the Lord with the harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord the King. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness." Praise God with everything that you have. Even his creation praises him. So praise God with all that you are, with all that you have. Praise him. Give him everything. And praise him every day. God wants us to wake up in the morning with praise on our lips for him. Praise on our lips. This week, Logan started athletics, which I was so excited for because I think he just ran from the time he went from crawling. He didn't walk, he just ran. And he's very, very active. He's a very normal boy. And so this week he started a little athletics. So he is training Tuesdays, Thursdays, 4 hours on a Saturday. He also got selected to train for the inter-school athletics at school. So he's training on a Wednesday as well. And during the week, so this is the first week where he started all of this training. And he said, "Mum, I'm so angry. I'm so angry." I said, "What are you angry about, Logan?" "Well, I just don't get to relax, do I? I'm doing athletics Tuesday and then Wednesday and then Thursday and then Saturday, and I have to train at lunchtime for the inter-school, and we do morning fitness every day at school. I just don't get any time to relax." Saturday morning came and I said, "Guess what? I get to go to competition today. Mum, come on. When do I get to sleep in? When do I get to relax?" And you know, he just had a very complaining, negative attitude. And look, we listen, we empathise with our kids, we allow them to express what's going on for them. But because that had been going on for all that week, I said to him on that Saturday morning, "Do you know what? It's really cool that you get to do athletics. It's like amazing that you get to do this. You've wanted to do this for a while now." And he turned around. And so we speak praise into our kids, don't we? We speak praise into people. We speak life into people. And as we praise God, you will find that this negativity, worry, fear, complaining attitude will drop right away. And you will have praise on your lips. You will speak positivity. You will speak encouragement. You will start speaking life to people the way God speaks life to you. Where's Chris? Chris, I was praying for you during the week and you are quite gifted in many different things. And I just sense that the Lord has a gift of evangelism on your life, which is bringing people into salvation, bringing people into his house and into his kingdom. And what I don't want you to do is not change who you are, because you are going to reach certain people that a lot of us can't reach. The gift of music that you have is to be used for the Lord. And as you do that, and as you start serving him and using your gifts that he has given you, he will deal with your past. He will get that all resolved and sorted out as you serve him. But you are going to be an incredible evangelist. You're going to bring many, many people to the Lord, to salvation. I think that's a good word. Good word from God, not me. So praise brings freedom and victory. Praise is the most powerful weapon against Satan. The most powerful weapon against Satan. When you need deliverance from something, when you need the enemy to flee, when you need victory for a situation, praise God. And we see this in two stories I'm going to bring to you, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. And so this first story is about King Jehoshaphat. What a great name. He was a king. He was reforming his kingdom, bringing justice and bringing good things, as a good king does, and peace. And so everything seemed to be okay. But the Ammonites and Moabites invaded his kingdom. They came into his country. And Jehoshaphat prays and fasts and seeks God, and God answers him through a prophet, saying that this battle with these people that who had invaded his country, that God would bring victory to Jehoshaphat. So we pick up in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 from verse 19. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. At that very moment they started singing and praising God, the enemy started fighting amongst themselves. Only God could do this. This has come out of the king seeking, praying, fasting before his God. And God's saying, the victory's already mine. Praise me. As you praise me, I will bring you victory. And that's exactly what happened the moment they started singing and praising God. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived, so here comes the army of Judah, God's army. At the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Praise brings victory. What do you need deliverance from the Lord? What do you need victory in from the Lord today? What battle are you facing that you need God to deliver you Start praising him. Start praising him. And he will bring that to you. He will bring the victory. He will bring deliverance. He will bring the freedom. He will win that battle for you. We start praising God. And so the New Testament story of Paul and Silas, so the Apostle Paul and Silas had been beaten, their flesh had been torn off their backs. They were thrown into a dungeon, into prison. Their feet were clamped in stocks, and their scholars say that the clamps that were on their feet not only restricted them from going anywhere, but it actually hurt their ankles. So Paul and Silas are in this dingy dungeon, beaten. And in Acts 16 we read, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Worship him, I'd love for you to come up. The power of praise. Paul and Silas in this dungeon at midnight. At midnight the prisoners would have been sleeping, the jailer was asleep, and they're praising and worshipping God. They're singing to him, and the prisoners who heard, they listened. They weren't praising, but they listened. God brought freedom. God brought the earthquake that broke off the clamps that were on them. Not only off Paul and Silas, but off all the prisoners. The prison doors flew open, and the jailer woke up. Now, you can imagine the jailer knew that his life was about to be ended if these prisoners escaped. And he's about to kill himself. And Paul says, no, don't do that. We're all here. None of us have escaped. We're all here. And the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe in the Lord and you'll be saved and your whole household will be saved. And that's exactly what happens. This jailer comes to the Lord. He receives salvation. He attends to Paul and Silas' wounds. His whole household is saved. They all get baptized. Victory. When we're praising God, we're not only bringing deliverance to ourselves, we can bring deliverance to other people. We can bring freedom to other people. You know, this story, when I'm in church and I'm praising God, I'm not praising God for the things that I need deliverance for. I'm praising God for the things that other people need deliverance for. And I'm believing that there is freedom as we continue to praise him together. The power of praise. The power of praise. Oh God, he brings freedom. He brings deliverance. He's a good, good God. Church, can you all stand this morning? There's nothing more worthy of our praise than our salvation, the joy of our salvation. The joy of our salvation. I'm going to read a passage of scripture from Ephesians 1, and I just want these words to soak into your heart and soak into your spirit. This is a word from the Lord. Just let it seep into your hearts. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united in Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. Church, with every head bowed and eyes closed, there are people here today who need to say, God, I need salvation. God, I need you. God, I need to come to you and invite you to be in my heart that I would follow you. God, I need you to come and forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for not following you and receive forgiveness to believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who died and rose again for you. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your Son who died for my sins and rose again. I repent today. I turn away from what the past was. And I look to you. Be Lord of my life today. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and eyes closed, the Bible says to make your declaration of following him known to others. And so if you have prayed that prayer for the first time, for those of you who have prayed that prayer for the first time, I'd love you to just raise your hand so I can see it and then put it down again. Just be bold. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, thank you, I see your hand. Who else says, yes, I'm going to follow you today? That you will spend eternity with God in peace and joy. Who else needs to make that decision for Christ today? Just raise your hand, I'll see it and put it down again. For those of you who have walked with Christ, but then you've been doing your own thing, today's the day for you to come back to his house, for you to declare that Jesus is Lord of your life again. For those of you who need to make that decision, please put your hand up, let me see it, and then put it down again. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'd love those people just to come to the front. If you came with a friend, please bring them down. Just come to the front so I can pray with you. Those two people, please come. It's a good day. Church, encourage them as they come.